Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined tonight by the founder of Papa John's. And then we'll be joined by Wayne Allen Root. And then I want to bring you a little bit of an interview I did at CPAC on a very, very important topic. One of the most important topics we could be talking about when it comes to national security, and that is the threat of an EMP, electromagnet pulse. I had the opportunity to interview State Senator Bob Hall, along with another gentleman that I have interviewed before, David Tice. And Bob Hall, Senator Bob Hall, he's been a state senator in Texas for 8 years. He also, if I remember correctly, worked on the Minuteman project with the U.S. military and classified information. He has known about, I think he said around 1967 he was working on that. So he has known for a long time about EMP. And then a few years ago, or several years ago now, he began to hear about the threat of EMP onto our power grid. It is perhaps the main way that America's enemies would seek in a war conflict to bring us down. All they would need is to put one nuclear missile up over the U.S., high above, detonate it. It would have no impact on us directly as far as physical, but it would, because of the electronic magnetic pulse, put down the U.S. power grid. Studies have shown that by the U.S. government, even, that within a year, 90% of Americans would be dead due to disease, starvation, or societal unrest. So how seriously are our elected officials at the state and federal level taking this? Sadly, many of them aren't even aware of what I'm talking about tonight. And yet, you could harden the grid. State Senator Bob Hall is working on doing just that in the great state of Texas, and he's trying to convince legislators in other states to do the same thing. It's a very, very, very important interview. Not only do we have the threat of EMP, but cyber hacking. We also have sunspots that can put down the grid. And again, even if the grid goes down for a few days, what are you going to do? How about a few weeks or a month or two? What would you do then? These are all serious threats to our national security, because what most people don't know is much of our U.S. military bases here in the U.S. rely on the civilian power grid. And there are three power grids here in the U.S., Texas being its own. We'll get to that interview with State Senator Bob Hall in just a little bit. First, joining me is the founder of Papa John's, John Schnatter. John, welcome to Brannon House Live. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Brannon.
Hey, John, we've had the chance to meet in person a few times, and so thank you for joining me tonight. There was a recent article over at Fox Business. Papa John's John Schnatter says company has lost its way after abandoning conservative values. Can you speak as to why this headline tonight? What's going on?
Well, when we were running the company, we ran it on quality and service and taking care of our people. And, of course, as you said, universal principles, natural law, which is the conservative ideology. And if you don't have your principles, sooner or later you're going to get yourself in trouble. And, you know, over the years, this past couple of years, Papa John's has had a free ride because of COVID, you know, captive audience, a monopoly, and free money. Alcohol consumption was up 40%. So everybody's sitting at home drinking and eating pizza and having a good time. And those chickens have now come home to roost. And, you know, sales are stagnant. Store growth is not non-existent. And commodities with inflation and fuel, the tough, scarce labor market. And now you have this IRS situation where they're going to go after their arch enemy, which is small business. So a lot of headwinds in front of us there at Papa John's.
Well, and as a result, they're losing. Are they losing traffic? Is their stock going down? It is a publicly traded company, correct?
Yeah, I hate to pick on Lynch, but he and I disagreed. He thought the COVID lockdown would go forever. And he came aboard, and all of a sudden they had a lockdown. They picked up 800 basis points extra in profitability. Captive audience, sales are going through the roof, and now that's subsided. They're have to deal with the real world. But my issue with Lynch is he doesn't really deal with reality. Long and short of it, he's been braggadocious that Papa John's has 18 million new customers, yet their customer counts on a weekly basis, I almost bet you, Brandon, are probably -4%, -8%, -12%. So you have more customers, so they say, but you have less people coming through your door. And customer count is critical to the health of the future of our enterprise.
Wow. You cited in an interview, I think, with our buddies over at Right Side Broadcasting, that Papa John's, when you were running it, when you were the leader, the American Customer Satisfaction Index was as high as, when it comes to quality in the pizza category, 18 times in 19 years. You're the highest quality in the pizza category 18 times in 19 years. Now, the company is down with Little Caesars.
That is correct. We were very proud of that. The one or two things we did, and this backs up the basis or the foundation of how we built Papa John's, which was if you take care of your people and you take care of your product, you're going to do just fine. We had a quality matrix measurement system that was really ingenious. We came up with that in 2004 when our quality was slipping. We implemented it from 01 to 04, and we really enhanced our quality. The first thing that the corporate guys did when they came to Papa John's, they took out that measurement system. The second thing they did, they took out a program we called Go Left, which was basically built on fundamental universal principles of mutual respect, kindness, thoughtfulness, consideration, win-win, collaborative alliance. People are priority one always. And it was an instant disaster. We were in default of our covenants on our loans as early as the end of 18. And then Jeff Smith came in at the beginning of 19, gave him a little bit of a kiss, a little bit of a push. Rob Lynch came in later that year, bought a little time, and then COVID hit. So they were able to do nothing right, but knew no wrong. And they got away with it for 2 years. And now all of a sudden the epidemic's over. It's dissipated. And reality is set in. And we always had our principles, Brandon. We always had our quality and service that when things got tough, we had that to fall back on. Right now, you got this IRS situation where you got $89 billion going to 87,000 agents with, by the way, 4.5 million weapons and 5 million rounds of
ammunition,
bullets, yeah, ammunition. And you look at what just happened to Mar-a-Lago, and that's getting ready to happen to small business. I'm really worried about my franchisees because they now have this food situation with inflation. They have inflation with their fixed cost, insurance, rent, utilities. And now all of a sudden they got the government breathing down their neck if they have one little technicality with their P&L. And remember, Papa John's, the average franchisee, has 4 or 5 stores. So they don't have an army of lawyers to fight this. So this is going to be a really tough next 6 to 12 months for the franchisees in all restaurant companies, especially Papa John's, because they had such a honeymoon period and they got away from their fundamentals. They got away from their principles.
Well, as you know, Biden has signed the Inflation Reduction Act, which is, you know, misnamed, obviously, on purpose. And so you're laying out the case excellent tonight. The 87,000 IRS agents, the job description, they have to be willing to be used deadly force. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But you talk about inflation. This is something we've been talking about here on my broadcast, radio and television, for a few decades now, warning about, you know, Keynesian economics, John Maynard Keynes, Keynesian economics. When there's an economic slowdown, the government becomes the primary spender. You expand the money supply. And, of course, this is where we're at. We have inflation. I think we've now moved into superinflation. And I think the next stop is hyperinflation. And some people define hyperinflation differently than others. But we're already seeing a 50%, 30, 40, 50% increase in year-over-year cost in some areas. So I know we can have deflationary things, you know, be in deflation in certain areas and then inflation in others. I heard one great economist warning about a deflationary and inflation depression. So I know that you can have deflation in one area, inflation in another. How concerned are you with the food supply crisis, with what seems to be a manufactured crisis and the war on farmers, ranchers? How concerned are you about those stores even making it, much less other restaurants, as we move into superinflation and then, I guess, next stop, hyperinflation, with what Biden keeps doing? It seems as though they're deliberately pushing us to hyperinflation on purpose. Maybe they want to do that, John, so they can go to a digital currency.
Yeah, the three or four things I would ask if I was an analyst following Papa John's is, what's your traffic counts? You know, I look at this. I don't see how they don't have less traffic counts today, customers through the door per week, than we did in 2016, 6 years ago. But you cannot buy Papa John's stock at $90 or $95 a share if you don't know the traffic. Two is, I'd want to know the distribution curve on stores losing money. With these high costs in this labor squeeze, I'll bet you 30 to 40% of the stores at Papa John's are not making money or breaking even. That's a huge problem.
What percent you think are just breaking even?
I think 30 or 40% are probably breaking even or not making money. And that's, you know, now you got a situation where it's already very difficult. It's a very tough business. And you're a franchise owner and you're barely getting by, but now you got to work 3-4 times harder because you can't get, you know, the scarcity of finding really good employees. You combine that with inflation. Now you combine that with Uncle Sam coming, you know, arm for bear after your taxes, trying to, you know, justify their existence. I mean, that's going to be extremely tough. But at a micro level, what concerns me is, when you print money because to cover the deficits, you have inflation. And when you print money, it's a cruel hidden tax on the future earnings of the middle class. And the middle class is what makes this country great. And for some reason, the elite left want to destroy the middle class. And that's the backbone of America. That's what makes America different from any country in the world, because it gives us all hope to live the American dream.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, John. Do you ever consider running for office?
No. You got Candace Owens, you got Herschel Walker, you got Ron DeSantis, you got Donald Trump. I mean, we have such an all-star lineup right now. Let those guys do the heavy lifting, and we'll just give them all the support and love and mental toughness that we can give them. But no, we have so much talent on the Republican Party. Democratic Party has no talent. And the conservative movement, you know, has truth, you know, the universal principles and, you know, the facts, the analytics of what makes a prosperous economy, which is, as Reagan said, get rid of the 9 dangerous words that you've ever heard. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. lower regulation, lower government spending, and let entrepreneurs do what they do, be entrepreneurs. So we have the right ideology. We just got to get the right approach, the right team effort, and the right level of awareness. I have friends that are liberal, and I love them to death. And, you know, they don't think good. They think like buffoons. They think arithmetic's opinion. They think money grows on trees. And, you know, you can't argue with somebody that says $2 plus $2 is $5. And so I asked him, I said, are you angry because you're stupid, or are you stupid because you're angry? And, of course, the answer is the latter. They're just angry. They're jealous. They're full of hate. They're envious. They're shameful. And they're just full of, you know, guilt and shame and anger. And so they don't have the ability to think logical that, hey, by the way, if you cut off 4% of the supply on the pipeline, fuel's going to go up. If you open up, the pipeline in Russia, he's going to make, you know, $700-800 billion, and he's going to attack Ukraine. This is not hard stuff. But you got two questions to ask Biden. Is he intentionally trying to destroy America, or is the guy just a buffoon? And I don't know the answer to that. He can't be that stupid, but give me one policy that he's put in place to help America. This latest bill they just passed is going to hurt the value of the dollar. It's going to hurt the middle class. It's going to increase taxes. It's going to increase more regulation with the IRS. This is a problem. And this administration, they don't even hide it anymore. They do it right in front of you. And hopefully the American people have waken up. We were raised by our parents and grandparents, the greatest generation. We know right from wrong. We know good from bad. We know, what is fair and unfair. We know that. And as Americans, we are going to have to start putting our foot down, because if they attack me and they attack Trump, they're going to attack small business. They're going to attack Americans until they force their ideology down everybody's throat. And now all of a sudden we're on the verge of, you know, a socialistic society, and the American dream goes out the window.
Absolutely. And I know that I interviewed you in Orlando in February and had the chance to hear the story. But for those who maybe don't remember when I interviewed you at CPAC in February, why is it you're no longer running Papa John's? Tell those who maybe don't know the story what happened to you. You're a victim of the cancel culture, were you not?
Well, absolutely. I was cancel culture before cancel culture was cancel culture. Basically, we have a board of directors and a CEO that hired an agency that kind of set me up and painted me in a bad light. And, it just was a real unfair thing to happen, but life's unfair. And, we're going to get to the bottom of that. We've had Louis Free with the FBI investigate this. Fortunately for me, I have a tape that shows that the agency of record didn't actually set me up. So the board of directors and the CEO hired an agency. They set me up. They painted me as a racist, and I got ousted.
Hey, do you envision one day getting back control of the company you founded?
Well, that's interesting you say, because over half the system, over 50% of the franchisees want me to come back.
I would imagine so.
The company's lost their way. Now, they won't say that out loud, because Jeff Smith and Rob Lynch will, they're vindictive. They're retaliating. They'll send the lawyers on them and make their life miserable. But it's coming to that. But Papa John's is like a drug addict. Until it hits rock bottom, right now they're still in La La Land at 90, 95 bucks a share. And until they hit rock bottom, it shouldn't be more than a $60, $70 stock. And at that level, you should monitor to make sure that they fix certain aspects. For example, the largest international franchise is UK, and it's in big trouble. We've lost the 180 stores in Russia. There's 220 stores in jeopardy in China when something happens with Taiwan. International comps are -8%. We've had no growth in the U.S. We're losing tremendous amount of traffic, and we have inflation through the roof, and product and service is gone down the tank. And I was a good friend of mine, Clark Mandigo, a franchisee down in San Antonio, and he was talking to the group, and he says, they're very open. He says, as bad as our product and service is, I can't believe anybody eats our product. Now, here's a franchisee, 35-store operator, that knows that we've gotten away from the thing that made us great.
Wow, what a sad story, because you worked so hard to found that company.
Oh, to watch this happen to my baby, watch this happen to Papa John's, it's gut-wrenching. But again, you know, the universe always works for you. It never works against you as long as you're abiding by universal principles. And, you know, this will turn out for the best. I can't explain how that's going to be right now, and I don't know what the future holds. But if you do the right thing and you work hard and, you know, you're good to people and you're good to communities, you know, you're responsible with your dollars, you know, you do the best you can. At the end of the day, things will always work out for the best. But I don't want to go through this again. But we're on top of it, and you know, life is good right now, and I'm kind of glad I'm not in the pizza business.
Well, I was getting ready to say, aren't you glad with all that's going on? You don't have that on your desk.
Well, Brandon, real quick, I don't know if I could fix Papa John's. I took it over in '09; it was $7 a share. It's way more in shambles today to fix. The wear and tear to get 5,000 stores back to the basics of good product, good service, good image, cleanliness. I mean, it would take a year of me, you know, agonizing just to get back, you know, because they're so out of shape. They've let themselves go. I'm not sure that I'm up for it.
Wow. Well, I will say this in my final question. Being an entrepreneur in America was always hard. It's doubly or triply hard now with everything we've been discussing, from inflation to red tape, to, yeah, you know, now the IRS with 87,000 new agents. I mean, they are making it hard to be a businessman, a business owner, an entrepreneur in America, are they not?
Absolutely. I'll leave you with one last story. I had dinner last night with Glenn Hogan. He's probably one of the greatest real estate developers in the country. He's just really good at what he does. I mean, he's done Walgreens, done Starbucks, worth tens of millions, probably hundreds of millions of dollars. And at dinner last night, I said, Glenn, and he showed me his tax return from 1987. He made $16,000 with Hogan Real Estate in 1987. So this guy started out at the bottom. I said, Glenn, if you had it over again, do you think you could do it again? Thought he'd say, yeah. He said, absolutely not. Not in this labor market. There's no way I could do what I did then today. And I feel the same way. There's no way under this environment I could have built Papa John's out of the broom closet into 5,000 stores. And to have empathy for somebody, you've had to walk a mile in their shoe. And I've walked a mile in the operator's shoes. I've walked a mile in the franchisee's shoes. And my heart goes out for them this next 6 to 12 months, because this is going to be brutal.
Well, I said one more question, but you sparked another one. The labor shortage. I don't know how a pizza company can make it, much less many of these other companies, when you now have got to pay people $15 to $20 an hour to get them to show up. I don't know what Papa John's is paying their people, but I know what we have to pay people to get them to work in our freeze-dried food distribution company and other things. And if you want physically fit young people to show up and work, you got to pay them starting $15 an hour.
Yeah, I always look at the psychology of things, and we'll pick on the American worker and we'll pick on Rob Lynch. The American worker, when this all went down in 2020, I said the habits are formed in 20 days, a good lifestyle is formed in 2 months, and in 144 days, if you're doing the same thing, you've got a lifestyle change. We had a situation where government spending was 16% of GDP, went up to 33% of GDP, and the American worker got used to not having to work. Example, 33% of the males between 25 and 40 were on welfare entitlements. So now all of a sudden, realities come back, and we have to get and have to go back to work, and they've got in some bad habits. Second thing is Rob Lynch. He comes aboard, all of a sudden COVID hits, sales go through the roof, and he picks up 800 basis points because he basically has a monopoly of home delivery. He thinks the pizza business is easy. Now, COVID, the pandemic, has dissipated, and this guy's got to deal with reality. I mean, he's throwing his arms up in the air because he's never seen anything as tough in his life, and it's getting ready to get tougher. So the issue I have with the American worker is the psychology of you know, I don't have to show up, and I sure as heck don't have to show up on time. And that's a problem. It's a problem for an employee's self-esteem. When an employee doesn't show up, yeah, he lets his boss down. More importantly, he lets his coworkers down because they got to cover the workload. But the most important thing, he left himself down. He let himself down. You know, and you can't have mutual respect if you don't have self-respect. You can't have self-respect if you don't have integrity. If you tell an employer you're going to show up and you're going to show up on time and you violate that, the rippling effect on the psychology and the self-esteem of the American worker is horrific.
Well, I would say to young people that are listening tonight, John, if you show up to work and you're polite and you're responsible and you're honest and you work hard and do what you're asked to do with a good attitude and have integrity, and I stress again, you're honest. I've said to my wife, the young people today have it really, really tough, no doubt about it. But I'll tell you something, the right young people with those characteristics I just laid out can write their own ticket, because there are businessmen looking for those kind of people to quickly add to their team and to quickly promote. I know we do. We have a young man that came to work for us, I guess early this year, in our freeze-dried food distribution company, and this kid shows up every morning ready to go, works until he feels, you know, like he's done the job for the day, and that may be five, that may be later. You call him whenever you need him, he's there extra. He asks, you know, if there's something going on, do I need to go do that for you, take care of this, take care of that? And that young man, he's in college, he's getting promoted. This fall, he'll come out of our warehouse, he'll move up into our post-editing and television control room. He'll be trained how to run hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment, become an associate producer in the control room. He'll immediately see a spike in his hourly pay, and he's going to be trained with something that could become a career. We would hope to keep him, but if he wanted to, he could then go off as one of our control room guys at CPAC last week. Somebody tried poaching him and taking him down to Southern Florida to work for their company. So the point I'm making is, young people today, if they'll follow these the rules and show some initiative and honesty, I'm telling you, there are guys running companies that will snap them up and make them have a career. Will you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great for America. It's going to be great for the community. It's going to be great for the employer. It's going to be really great for this kid's family. But what is really the icing on the cake, it's going to be good for him.
Yeah.
He's going to feel good about himself. He's going to feel good about his future. He's going to wake up every day, you know, with a little bounce in his step. It's in his best interest to do the right thing. Remember, at the end of the day, people go, what's the light at the end of the tunnel? And I said, it's the 330 million souls in this country that were raised by the greatest generation, parents and grandparents. We know right from wrong. We know good from evil. We know fair versus unfair. Conservatives are so busy working and trying to do the right thing that they don't really have a lot of time for this. I don't like politics. I always try to stay away from it. But unfortunately, them, like me, are going to have to get involved. Otherwise, we're going to lose our country. They are the light at the end of the tunnel. If you change yourself, you can change the world. And we need to change the world, because this is going the wrong direction.
Indeed.
And it starts with each and every one of us. We're the lights, the 330 million souls that are going to put that bright, shiny city back on that hill.
Well, we'd love to see that happen. And I appreciate your coming on tonight, sharing your story and being an inspiration. And you have a platform here anytime you want to come visit with us.
Oh, thank you, Brandon. God bless. Thanks
you
for
too.
Having me.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your checking in. Peace. John, glad to have him with us tonight. We'll get him back again. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to go to Wayne Allen Root. He started, when was it, Logan? Yesterday? He started yesterday on Lindell TV 2. We're glad to have him to the team. He's got a syndicated radio show. I think he's done TV and stuff as well, but we're glad to add him now to our side as well. So we'll discuss with Wayne Allen Root a few things, and then we'll also visit and bring to you the visit I had with State Senator Bob Hall when I was in CPAC. I want to bring this to you prime time. In fact, when the interview was over, I said that to him. I said, man, I got to air this prime time. Frank Gaffney with the Center for Security Policy came by at the end of the conference. He said, I walked by and I saw you interviewing Dave Tice and State Senator Bob Hall. I walked back by several minutes later. You're still going. I said, yeah, I interviewed them a good 45 minutes. He said, aren't they amazing? Aren't they amazing? I said, yeah, it's scary, but what they're talking about is so important for people to hear. When I got done with the interview, I said to State Senator Bob Hall, I got to run this prime time. People have got to wake up and hear this. So we'll get to that right after our little visit with Wayne Allen Root. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I cannot stress enough how important it is that you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend. Not only will you save up to 66% on sheets, towels, blankets, dog beds, pet beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins, and any of the 110-plus products. Not only will you save up to 66% on your purchase by using the very powerful promo code WVW, but did you know that with each purchase, a generous portion comes back to WVW Broadcast Network? Last year in 2021, we were able to replace all of our 12-year-old plus cameras. They were at least 12 years old. They were old HD cameras. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because you used the promo code WVW. That's how important it is. You may think, well, is it really that important? Yeah, it is. We wouldn't have, I don't think, the brand new cameras we have today if we had not had your support by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code WVW. Now, not only do we have to buy new equipment, maintain the equipment, but we have bandwidth bill. Every month, we pay thousands of dollars in storage and bandwidth so that you can watch the free TV shows at WVW. If you listen to the radio show for free, I have to pay for the bandwidth. The radio shows and TV shows are free for you to watch, but I have to pay for the bandwidth. How do we cover that bill? One way is by those of you that go to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVW. Will you do that right now? Will you do me another favor? Will you ask your family and friends to go to MyPillow.com? Look, we all need sheets, towels, blankets, comforters, dog beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins. You're not only supporting a great company and the work of Mike Lindell, you're also supporting the free radio and TV shows at WVW Broadcast Network. I really need you to go there right now. Please, don't delay. Go right now to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. This is a great way for you to support our work and get something in return. Please do it right now. MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. All right, let's go to Wayne Allen Root. Oh, Wayne, are you there?
I'm here. Can you see me? Are we okay?
We are awesome. I see your beautiful flag. I see all your books behind you. So congratulations on the launch of your broadcast on Lindell TV yesterday.
Thank you.
How did the first day go?
Well, today was the second day, so I actually have 2 days under my belt. And it went fantastic. The second day was like a breeze. First day, you're always a little bit nervous. Second day was so easy. It was a breeze. I love doing it. And you said before the break, I think Wayne's been on TV. I've been on TV my whole life. When I was 26 years old, I became the youngest anchorman, I believe, in America at the time on national TV. It was so long ago that it was not even called CNBC back then, Brandon. It was called Financial News Network, and I hosted 5 shows. I was the star of CNBC before it became CNBC.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they were all sports shows. I was the big sports guy and the big sports gambling guy, and because of all that, I've got a star, 180-pound granite star on the Vegas Walk of Stars on Las Vegas Boulevard, the Vegas Strip next to Elvis and Liberace and Wayne Newton. Is Wayne Allen Root the king of Vegas sports gambling? Yeah,
I
was on TV for 25 years.
I did not know that. I thought you were going to tell me. Yeah. You said you've been on. When you said you've been on TV your whole life, I thought you were going to tell me you're the original Ricky Jr. on I Love Lucy or something. You know, I thought you were tell me you're
I've
a child actor.
A long time.
A child. I thought you were to tell me you're a child actor.
It was 25 years on TV as a sports guy, and the media called me the king of Vegas sports gambling. And then I got into politics. I won the Libertarian vice presidential nomination. I missed by an inch winning the presidential nomination, but Congressman Bob Barr won in 2008 the presidential nomination, and he chose me to be his vice presidential running mate. And I traveled the nation and got into politics and wound up on Fox News the next morning on Neil Cavuto's show. And I've been in politics ever since. And I've been made thousands of political appearances. And I had the number one show at Newsmax TV for 3 years, from 2017 to 2020. I had the number one show on Newsmax TV. And my partner was Bill O'Reilly. Three times a week, he opened my show with me. So I've had an incredible life and an incredible career, going from sports TV to national syndicated radio, finally to Newsmax political TV, and now Mike Lindell TV. So, well, God bless America.
And not to rag on Newsmax too much, but you got a lot more freedom here, because you can talk about machines, vaccines, all kinds of things here. But I bet you had some rules over at Newsmax.
Well, yeah, that's the terrible story that tells you how everything's been ruined. Everything's been poisoned. Because I had the number one show at Newsmax and Bill O'Reilly on three times a week. And they got thousands and thousands of fan mails every week about me. They were flooded with fan mail saying, Wayne Root, we love the show. And then they fired me because on March 11th, 2020, the country was going down from COVID. We were about to be locked down. And I kept saying, don't lock down. Don't lock down. You can't lock down. You'll destroy the economy. And you won't stop anyone from getting COVID, and millions aren't going to die, and the whole thing is ridiculous and exaggerated. And at that moment, the stock market was crashing, and I said, my God, this is an attack on America by the enemies of America. And that is George Soros and Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, and China and Russia and the Muslim nations are attacking America, driving the stock market down. And they fired me for that.
They fired you for that one show.
Yes.
We would at least give
for
you
one
two.
Comment.
We would at least give you two shows to screw up.
It's unbelievable. You can't even believe how bad these people are. And obviously, deep state, DC Swamp.
Well, you know there has to be. There has to be money involved. Come on. You don't get rid of that's my opinion. Okay. You don't get rid of your top show over that kind of comment the next day. I mean, unless there's a lot of money, and there were reports that there was $1 billion being handed out by the Biden regime to media outlets. And again, whether reports true or not, I read that Newsmax and Fox were on that list. I don't know. I'm just telling you reported.
That was about, Brandon, that was about the vaccines.
Okay.
So clearly, if I had stayed there, I would have been fired over the vaccines and the money they took for the vaccines anyway. But this had nothing to do with vaccines. This was in March of 2020. Trump was still president.
Oh, Trump's still president then. Yeah.
Yes. And it didn't matter. Newsmax was angry that, A, I kept saying that Biden is brain dead and has dementia and can't possibly be the president of the United States. It would be a disaster. And they got mad at me. They said it was disrespectful to say that Biden is brain dead and has dementia. I was exactly right.
Well, you know, the truth sometimes hurts. Sometimes the truth hurts.
Right.
But did you ever find out what was ever the truth? Again, if you can't answer the question, I don't know if you signed anything or not, but if you can or don't want to answer the question, you don't have to. But did you ever find out what the deal was between the owner of Newsmax and his relationship with Bill Clinton and the Clinton Global Initiative and traveling the world, as I've read, with the Clinton?
I didn't. Remember, the reason they got rid of me was I made a comment about George Soros being the enemy of America. Of course he's the enemy of America. What do you think? He's the best friend of America? He was trying to take the country down. He was trying to make sure that Trump wasn't reelected. He's the man behind the open borders. He funds everything bad happening in America. And any conservative network that would fire a host, let alone a popular host, over making a negative comment about George Soros isn't a conservative network. And by the way, the postscript of all that is they were bombarded with over 20,000 phone calls and emails saying, if Wayne Root leaves, we're done with Newsmax. And it didn't even change their mind. They didn't care.
Well, you need to let all those people. You need to let all those people know you're now at Lindell TV.
Believe me, I'm gonna. I've had quite a few who found me yesterday and today who have sent me emails. So it's great stuff, and I love to hear from all your listeners and all your viewers and all your fans. Brandon House, you have a great show. Do you realize this is the first time I'm back since I came on and said I would give out my comprehensive detailed list of all the COVID vaccine data around the world for free?
What happened?
Anyone who asked, and I gave my email, WayneRoot@gmail.com. I thought 50, 100 people would contact me. Over 3,000 of your viewers contacted me, and I sat there for a week and click, 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 used up all day long and sent out 3,000 emails responding to your viewers. So you have the most loyal and loving viewers I've ever seen. Fantastic.
Well, thank you. Well, we actually heard that from another business owner last week. We promoted his business because it's a great company, and I talked about it, and I guess they got calls and several calls and a lot of interaction with people. And he said, you got the most amazing audience, and they're all so nice and just kind-hearted people. So let me ask you this. What kind of response did you get coming on my show related to other shows you've been on in the last 40 years?
Well, you know, yes, and I am 61 years old, so I've been on TV for 40 years. And I got to tell you, when I went on Fox News, I would never get the kind of response I got off being on your show. I've never said anything on TV or national radio and gotten over 3,000 responses in my entire life. I've been on Sean Hannity. I've been on Rush Limbaugh. I've been on Michael Savage. I have my own nationally syndicated show right now on USA Radio. Never have I gotten 3,000 responses, but I got them from the Brandon House audience. So you and Mike Liddell have something very special going on, and that's why I'm thrilled to join your network.
You know, when we built this, we launched it April 19th. I went to Mike and I said, Mike, I've been doing this over here with my network. I want to build Lindell TV. He wanted to build Frank Speech. And I'm like, okay, but I really want to build Lindell TV. That's my thing. And so after we did a few shows together, he saw what could happen and he said, let's build Lindell TV. So we launched it April 19th of 2021. And people started laughing, you know, and making jokes. I don't think a lot of them are laughing anymore. I think they realize how hard we've worked 7 days a week, 360, literally 7 days a week, 365 days a year running this network. And it's a lot of work. But I'll tell you what we've done. We've gone out, we've gotten great people like yourself, Diamond and Silk, Roger Stone, and so many others. And we've worked hard to bring an audience with great hosts. And many of them, by the way, who have been under attack. They have been censored. They have been canceled. So there's a team spirit here because pretty much every one of the hosts, they've had to fight to get where they are and remain where they are. And it's good for them, but it's also good for us. I think we got great, great hosts. I don't see any other network building the stable of shows with the great host we have. I really don't.
Well, I know I'm in the right place at the right time because, listen, I'm hired to give speeches all over America to conservative groups. And very often I have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 people in the audience. And I get standing ovations when I say three different things. Number one, the election of 2020 was stolen and Trump is the rightful president, legitimate president of the United States. Joe Biden is a brain-dead, dementia-laden zombie who is the illegitimate president of the United States. The borders are open because the Democrat Party is being supported by the Mexican drug cartel. That's just giving them their money. China and the Mexican drug cartel. Why do you think the border's open? I'm a businessman. I give a 10% finder's fee to anybody who can make me rich, Brandon. I've done it for 40 years, and I've made a fortune, millions of dollars in America giving finder's fees. You don't think the Mexican drug cartel's giving finder's fees to the Democrat Party? You don't think China is giving a cut of all their money to the Democrat Party in offshore accounts to make sure that America gets weaker and more damaged every day? And I get standing ovations every time I tell them that the COVID vaccine is deadly and dangerous. And this is what I'll be centering my shows about here on Lindell TV, without any censorship, without any banning, where you could tell the truth.
Yes, you can.
I think it's great. Let's make sure everyone knows where to find my show.
Yeah, what
it's
time
Lindell
is your show
TV
on?
Lindell TV 2. It's on at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. So that's 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 East Coast Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, every day, Monday through Friday, on Mike Lindell TV 2.
And I'm working to carve you out a slot on for replay on Lindell 1.
Good.
I'm working on it.
And if this works out, keep this in mind. If this works out, I'll do 2 or 3 hours a day on Lindell TV. I'm telling you. And you mentioned working hard. You have no idea. I'm the hardest working man in show business. Nobody gets wealthy in America because it's an unfair country. It's a terrible country. It's a racist country. There's no social justice. You and me are like cut from the same cloth. I'll tell you, Brandon, I have worked my whole life, my fingers to the bones. I'm the biggest hustler in the history of America. And that's the reason I make money. It isn't because anyone gives me anything because I'm white or because I'm Republican. Nobody's ever given me anything in my life. I've had luck my whole life, and it's all been bad. So I didn't make any money. I didn't make any money because I'm lucky. I overcame bad luck. And that's the story of America. And I feel so blessed to be in the greatest nation ever created by God and blessed by God. And we got to fight to keep it alive so all of our kids can enjoy the same great nation we've enjoyed. And it doesn't look good right now, but we'll keep fighting. Every day to my last breath, we'll keep fighting.
Amen to that. I bought a Malibu ski boat in 2001. Okay, and all my kids learned to water ski behind it, wakeboard behind it, and I treat it really, really well, and it's in mint condition. It's, you know, I bought it in 2001, same boat. Do you know how many times I've had that boat in the water this summer?
Probably none.
Zero. First summer since I've owned it. Zero, because that's how much Logan and I are working to keep building Lindell TV. So you're right.
By the way, your son Logan, I have enjoyed working with him so much. He has been so fantastic to me to get everything set up, to make sure my home studio looks good, sounds good. I've got a studio here with so much equipment, and I know nothing about tech. So I've had him interacting with my people to make it all sound good and look good. Thank you, Logan House. You've done a great job.
Yes,
you raised
has.
A really good son.
Well, thank you. His mother gets most of the credit. When we were at Mar-a-Lago last November with President Trump and Mike Lindell producing and directing that interview, the President Trump figured out Logan's name and used his name a few times in conversation and asking Logan for this or that. And he was also visiting with one of my other children. And he kept complimenting my wife and I on the kids. And he did this several times. And then on his way out the door after the interview was all said and done, he looked at me and he said, "I just have to tell you, I'm just really impressed with these kids." And I looked at him and said, "Well, Mr. President, the credit really goes probably to their mother." He stopped. He cocked his head a little bit. He looked over at her and he said, "I could see that." And he walked out the door. "I could see that." So she does get most of the credit.
You and I are blessed, guys. I got to tell you, last November, I was married to my lovely new wife, Cindy Parker Root, and we went on our honeymoon in March because, again, I worked so hard. I got married in November, didn't have time to get away for 5 days till March. But in March, we went on our honeymoon to Mar-a-Lago. President Trump had us stay at his home in Mar-a-Lago. He gave us the amazing tower suite that very few people have ever stayed in. Michael Jackson stayed in it and Rudy Giuliani stayed in it for Trump's wedding to Melania. We got the tower suite, which is three stories high and overlooks the entire Palm Beach all the way around, panoramic view, 20, 30 miles in the distance.
Wow.
Just an amazing time. And we had this time of a lifetime. We sat at dinner next to President Trump like four nights out of the 5 nights we were there. It was just an amazing time. So, I mean, when I see that they raided Mar-a-Lago, I'm watching the helicopter views and I'm going, "I know that. I know that. I know that. I've been in that room. I've been in that room." It's actually so sad that country, we've become a banana republic and they can raid the home of the president of the United States. You know what I said? Can you imagine if President Trump was still president and he ordered the FBI to raid the home of Barack and Michelle Obama? Can you imagine the racism charges and the screaming from liberals that he is the criminal and he is Hitler and he's the worst and he's Stalin and he's the worst human being in the world and this is Nazism? And yet they did that to Donald Trump, who's the greatest guy in the world, never hurt anyone, never been a criminal in his life. All he's ever been is a guy who gave up everything to run for president of the United States when he could have just enjoyed retirement as a billionaire. He gave it all up for the American people for a salary of zero. And they're coming after him because he is the only thing standing between them, a bunch of Gestapo and Soviet KGB who want to destroy us all and us. He's in the way. Once they take him out of the way, Brandon, they're coming after all of us.
I agree.
So you better stand and fight for President Trump. That's all I can say.
And that's one reason why you and I haven't retired and are still working as hard as we are.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to always work. I don't know how to do anything else. You know, I went on my honeymoon. My wife is so mad at me because all we did was work on the honeymoon. I went to business meetings and I went to political meetings.
Are you still married?
I am. She's getting used to the fact that I work all day. She sees me for dinner at night. and she sees me in the morning, and in between, it's work all day. That's what I like. It's what I enjoy. My grandfather did it too. He came to America without one dime from Germany, and he wound up owning a butcher store with like six butchers, and it was wildly successful. And he always said to me, Wayne, there's only two rules in life. One is the customer is always right, and rule number two, if the customer's wrong, refer back to rule number one, they're right. And that's it. And that's my theory in life. Always treat your listeners, your viewers, your fans like you're unimportant, and they are the single most, each one of them is the most important person in the world. I answer every single email. I get 2,000-3,000 a week, and I answer every one of them and thank them for writing and tell them I appreciate them. And nobody does that in this business.
You're right about
that. I do it because my grandfather taught me.
So. You're right about that. So you're on Lindell TV 2, the second player. We're going to figure out a rerun time for him on Lindell 1. But you're on the second player, and again, 6 p.m. Central, correct?
6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. East, 4 p.m. West Coast time. That is correct. And loving to be on it. It's fun to be back on TV.
Well, welcome to the Lindell family. We look forward to having you back on as a guest here as well.
Thank you, Brandon. God bless you.
Thank you.
All your fans. Great people.
Thank you. Wayne Allen Root checking in, folks, and I hope you'll check out his show on Lindell TV 2, the second player on the page, 6 p.m. Central. And, of course, you can also check out the best ofs as well.
The 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. Tickets are now available, and just like last year, it will sell out this year as well. We only have seating for 1,000 people, filled up last year in 2021 and 2022. Is sure to do the same. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Join us for the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. The resort is right on the water. It's all inclusive. You come there and you stay and your meals are there and you register for our conference. And we have a great lineup this year. Keynote speakers in person will include Dr. Peter McCullough, internist and cardiologist, an expert on pandemics and bioweapons. We'll have with us CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, expert on technocracy and globalism, Annie Cyrus, born in Iran and expert on the Middle East, Dr. Lee Merritt, former military surgeon and expert on bioweapons, Dr. Andy Woods, pastor, lawyer, and also expert on Bible prophecy, Terry Turchi, former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, author and journalist, an expert on illegal immigration and the border crisis, Leo Holman. Karen Kingston, she is a bioweapons analyst. This is the incredible lineup. There's also the option of the Thursday night banquet concert, and then also the luncheon on Saturday, the WVW Foundation luncheon on Saturday. Now, these things on Thursday night and the luncheon on Saturday are optional. You don't have to attend those if you don't want to, but you can. And you can get your tickets along with your general seating or your priority seating tickets for the conference itself at WVWTVstore.com. All the details are there, WVWTVstore.com. Be sure to call the resort. Use that promo code WRLD, or just say Worldview Weekend, or the code WRLD, and you will get the weekend rate when you book your room reservations at the Tantara Margaritaville Resort, right there on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks, 1,150 miles of shoreline, rolling hills of the Ozarks. It's gorgeous. So don't delay. It will sell out. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. If you prefer to order your tickets over the phone, you can call Melissa and or text her at 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. If you prefer to order your tickets over the phone. Otherwise, WVWTVstore.com. WVWTVstore.com. The 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with that great and important interview with State Senator Bob Hall of Texas about the very serious threat from Iran, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea of an EMP attack on America. Very, very serious threat, and it's something your state legislatures and your all these states of ours should be talking about, and sadly, many of them aren't. Texas is leading the way in many regards. State Senator Bob Hall is leading the way. You got to hear this. We'll be right back.
Today, I address you not only as a citizen of the United States, but as an American, standing for all humanity. For the first time in the history of our nation, technology has been activated that attacks our Constitution with a capacity to destroy our future.
Absolute proof of the biggest cyber attack in history.
We must remove voting machines and any electronic devices from all elections forever. Elections have consequences. These selections are transforming the spirit of our country.
If the election of 2020 didn't happen, we would never, ever, ever have gotten to this great place we're going to get to. Trust me on that. Ever. This was all God's plan, and we are in the greatest revival for Jesus in history.
Mike Lindell presents live the Moment of Truth Summit on frankspeech.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Mike's picking on me. Can you imagine that? Mike Lindell picking on me?
No, I can't imagine that.
Can you imagine Mike Lindell picking on me? You can't imagine that, can you? All right, so Mike is taking pictures with a lot of folks, visiting with a lot of folks, but I get to visit now with State Senator Bob Hall, and, of course, David Tice has been with me many times. He's an expert on EMP. Senator, I have been told by people you are a mover and a shaker here in the state. You're getting things done. I heard your story yesterday. You've been a state senator, if I remember correctly, for 8 years.
That's correct.
And let's move that in closer. There we go. And you decided to run. You'd never run for anything, right?
No.
And
I
you
was,
decided to run. You were retired, right?
I was as apolitical as you could get. Matter of fact, if I was honest, I would tell you my name is Bob, and I'm a recovering political apathetic.
And you'd actually bolted out of the state, right?
Right.
You'd gone to Florida, retire, and be done with everything.
That's right.
And be with grandkids and have fun.
And my native Texan wife, who I learned native female Texans are like monarch butterflies. When grandkids show up, they come home to roost.
So grandbabies happen here in Texas. She's right. Like, I'm going back to Texas.
That's right.
So you guys came back and you decided to get involved and run for office.
I did.
And did you was your first thing to run for a state senate?
That's correct.
And boom, you won.
Well, it came out of the Tea Party. That's what got there. Actually, my involvement in politics began with the Tea Party. First party meeting they held in East Texas, I was there. And they had a gentleman there who gave a speech, a talk about around a book called A 5,000-Year Leap.
Oh, yeah, I know that book.
Cleon Skolson.
Yep. Who was a staunch anti-communist, wrote The Naked Communist and other books. He was a former FBI agent who became, I think, the chief of police in Utah somewhere.
That is correct. But this book was kind of an eye-opener for me because he explained how this group of old white men, average age 44 years old, reached back over 5,000 years of looking at republics, pick the best parts of each one, combine them with biblical principles, and created a document like had never been created before called a Constitution. Second greatest document ever written, a contract between the people and this group they were going to put in charge called the government from the bottom up. The first time ever. Not a king, not a conqueror, but the people saying, you know, this is going to be our governing body, and here are the rules by which you will govern. And this is the limitation of your rules that you will govern by. You can't do anything more than what's said in the Constitution right here. Well, that got my attention. And then a few weeks later, someone handed me another book by Tom Brokaw called The Greatest Generation.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that talked about my dad, my mom, my grandmother, my granddad, my uncles, the folks who lived through the Great Depression, took on the two mightiest armies in the world. Women came out of the homes and went into the factories building tanks and planes and bombs and boats. And when it was all over with, we had defeated the two biggest armies in the world. Most people don't realize that when we entered that World War II, we were 14th in the world in military power.
Wow.
Portugal had a bigger army than what we had. But we went in and came out of it, not conquerors, but liberators. Wow. We didn't go in to conquer either Germany or Japan. We liberated the people and we exported that beautiful world, liberty. American liberty we exported to them. And then, at that time, we had God in our schools, God in our courts, God in our government, God in our homes, a little bit of debt, but we were a Christian nation, and families were important. And then they handed it off to my generation. And look at the mess my generation's made of.
Why?
We took Bible out of school. We took prayer out of schools. Teen pregnancy went up. Drug use went up. Teen violence went up. Divorces went up. The family started to fall apart. And we moved closer to socialism, all on my watch. Hmm. And I felt that God was telling me, if you don't get in the fight, or you need to be in the fight, because your generation is about to be remembered in history as the first generation of Americans to leave the country in worse shape than what you inherited it.
Wow.
So it was a guilt trip you put on me. So I got involved and helped get others elected for a couple of cycles, because I recognized that the issues we would protest will always be with us, but we would have fewer issues if we elected righteous people.
Right.
So I got busy, we were very successful, and it came down time for the next election where our state senator, who was ranked as the most liberal Republican senator in Texas, 12-year incumbent with a lot of money, and nobody would run against him. I tried to find, for 2 years, tried to find somebody to run against me. Nobody would do
it. You were
it.
Trying to find someone?
That's right. Tried to find nobody to do it. So my wife and I, we prayed about it. We talked about it. We felt for a time such as this, if not us, who? If not now, when? And we prayed. Now, if she were here, she would tell you, yeah, I prayed. God, don't let him go do this. Please don't let him do this. But
at least you got you anchored back in Texas,
oh, yeah.
Right, where the grandbabies are.
So we did. I put it in his hands. I said, you know, God, you give us the money and the people, whatever you want. Just give me some words at the right time, and I ask you one thing. If I don't win, I don't want to be bitter, and if I do win, I don't want to become arrogant. Mm. But I will follow your lead in this. Well, in his good humor, he gave us no money, but he gave us a lot of really good people. And when the dust is all settled, out of 30,000-something votes, we won by exactly 300 votes.
Wow. I guess the guy had been in there for how many years?
12.
12 years.
12 years.
Wow.
I would say the only promise I made to the people out there when I was running was that I would go to God every day on my knees and ask for his wisdom, his courage, and his strength to know and do his will. And so that's what has driven me to be the most conservative senator in Texas.
And you say that, and that's because you've actually been ranked that way, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm the only legislator in Texas to be scored with 100% by CPAC. And at the top of all the conservative
organizations. How do you rank with the pro-life groups?
Right at the top.
100% again.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me what have been some of your biggest legislative accomplishments.
Well, the biggest have been working on bills on pro-life. I've been a co-author on all of our pro-life bills. Really pretty proud of what we got passed with the trigger bill this last session.
Tell me about the trigger bill.
Trigger bill was one that we passed that said, this was back before the Supreme Court did what it did. We didn't know what they were going to do. So we said, we're going to pass a bill that makes abortion illegal in Texas if Roe versus Wade is ever overturned.
And you were the first state to do that?
I believe we were. Mm-hmm. We weren't the first. We were one of the first. And so, but our approach.
How long ago did you do that?
This last session.
Okay, because you kind of saw what was coming.
Yes. Well, it was in case. I mean, we just wanted to set it up because we already had very strong pro-life bills in that we had made abortion illegal, and I use illegal not in terms of criminal, but in civil.
Right.
We bypassed the court's position on how they had ruled it and said you couldn't make abortion criminal, so we made it a civil issue. We gave the authority to anybody. Everybody eligible to file a lawsuit against a doctor or a hospital or anybody that performed abortion in the civil courts. And so that bypassed it and it stood up under court pressure. So we had a new approach to protecting life. Senator Brian Hughes, a good friend of mine, I co-authored the bill with him and he took the lead on it.
So tell me about, now we've got David Tice. David, I've interviewed you many times. You are friends with you and I have mutual friend of Dr. Peter Vincent Pry on EMP. And I think you're also working with the Center for National Security, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So tell me the connection between you two. Are you guys working to harden the grid here in Texas?
I'll let Bob take that.
Yeah, absolutely. This was part of God's hand in this because way back before, long before I ever get involved in politics, but when I immediately after I graduated from the Citadel, it's commissioned.
Well, wait a minute. You left that part out till now, right?
Yes.
Tell us, you're a graduate of the Citadel, for those of you who don't know what that means.
Military school. Mm-hmm. I did not intend.
Is that North Carolina? South Carolina.
Military school. Good. My best friend that played quarterback a year apart.
Who's that?
Ben Hill.
Okay.
And he's an attorney in Florida. He got a scholarship up there, invited to play for the Citadel. I got an injury, so I was never going to be able to play football again. But I went up for a weekend to visit with him. I thought, gee, this is a place I ought to go because I knew I would be a party boy if I went to one of the Florida schools. So I'd go there for a year. But it transformed me because the day I stepped on the campus, they started teaching us about the honor code, that you don't lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who do. And then the next year, I endured a great deal of discipline that taught me you never, never, never quit on anything. So at the end of the first year, I decided I am not going to quit. I'm going to graduate. So I stayed. I was a double E major.
What'd you major in?
Electrical engineering.
Wow.
And I intended to be an Air Force fighter pilot. Couldn't pass the physical when I just before graduation, so I was sent to Norton Air Force Base to work on the Minuteman missile program.
So you worked on the Minuteman missile program.
Right. And just right after I became captain, we had a new threat that was brought to the SPO about against the Minuteman missile during the Cold War, and that was called the EMP threat. And this is where we
What year was this now?
This is in 1967.
So you've been dealing with the EMP threat since 1967.
That's correct. I was a project officer that hardened the Minuteman missile.
You hardened it against EMP?
Against EMP.
And for those who don't know, EMP is electromagnetic pulse. And so a nuclear blast goes off.
Nuclear blast outside the Earth's atmosphere, where you don't, there are no kinetics. You don't feel it. You don't see it.
Doesn't hurt us on Earth.
There's nobody hurt. There's nothing is blown up. But the gamma rays that come off of that blast impinge upon the particles in the atmosphere, knocking the electrons loose, and they are picked up by the magnetic field and start to swirl. And as they do, they start inducing very high currents very quickly in anything that's metal, so that that sort of a blast would destroy our entire electrical grid system, all of our communication systems, and anything that's electrical, cars with electronic ignitions, would all be fried instantly. One small nuclear weapon, one time, and we have out electricity. We're thrown back into the 1800s, where life existed before we had electricity.
And you've known about this since 1967.
That's correct.
And now, of course, you meet David Tice. Of course, David is, this is what his thing is,
right,
along with Dr. Pry and others. We produce Dr. Pry's weekly radio show, and we produced his TV show. He's in many of our documentaries on this.
Oh, Dr. Pry was the one that told me about Texas having its own electrical grid. I was unaware of that.
Yeah, Texas is one of the three grids, and Texas is its own grid.
And he was the one that said, you know, if you get elected, you should try to do something to protect the
Harden the grid.
To harden the grid. And I said, I'll do it.
So what are you doing?
We've had a bill every session, but the electric company is just, power companies are just as powerful here in Texas as they are nationally.
And you say power companies, plural. How many power companies are there just in Texas?
Oh, there are dozens of them.
And how many are there nationwide, David?
So there's 3,000 electric utilities.
3,000 nationwide, and over a dozen just in Texas.
And there's probably a few more of those that are simply marketing companies that are not really providing electricity service.
And you have a mix. You have those, you've got transmission lines, you have the power generators, and you have the distribution. All are different companies. We have a market-based power distribution system here in Texas.
Okay, so everybody knows about last winter when all your windmills froze up to an ice storm and everything. Tell me, before we get back to EMP, tell me about that.
It was a disaster. It demonstrated how unreliable and non-resilient our power system is. The loss of power at that time, you really can't blame directly on wind and power. Where you do, the blame is on the policy behind the green energy that brought wind and power to the grid, because before it did that, it caused the shutdown of dozens of coal-fired plants. So our thermal, which is reliable energy, plants had shut down. Good plants that were not very old at all because of environmental issues shut down.
So let me make sure that I understand. Due to wacky environmental laws, you shut down pretty new, good power plants.
Right.
And you started to try to run the electrical system in Texas off less reliable power and going to green power, which when those things froze up,
They are unreliable because we know they're not available at least half the time.
Right.
The solar doesn't work when the sun doesn't shine, and the wind doesn't work when the wind doesn't blow.
And when the turbines freeze up with ice, that's a problem.
And we don't have enough thermal to make up for it.
And you don't have enough what?
Thermal energy. That's the gas, coal, fire.
So you don't have enough thermal to make up for it because they shut a bunch of those down.
That's correct.
So they're saying, okay, we're going to rely some on thermal, we're going to rely some on the wind and solar, but when the wind and solar goes down, then we don't have enough thermal to make up the balance of the wind and solar going down.
That's
right?
Correct.
And that's what happened in Texas.
That's what happened. And we get the
and
solar.
And anyone die during that?
What's that?
Did anyone die during that incident?
Oh, we had 200 people die.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
People.
That's
because
the point I'm making.
The environmentalists killed.
So they killed 200 people just right there. One incident. 250 dead thanks to this stupid policy.
Right.
Not to mention, is it a national security issue? What did this do to any of your military bases? Because I know military bases rely oftentimes on civil power, right?
That is correct.
So what did it do to any of your military bases in Texas?
It shut everybody that lost power. We didn't discriminate. The military.
So that's a national security problem.
Absolutely. We brought that up as a national security issue. It is one because without electricity is the second most important thing to sustaining life. The only single thing that's more important than electricity is air. Because water, you don't get if you don't have electricity. Most of the people, their pumps don't run. And the majority of the people living where they have to turn their tap on, depend on electric pumps to get it to them, it ain't coming.
When the power went down for how many days, there were some people who were out of water.
Out of water, yes. And you don't get trucks running. Everything shuts down when the electricity
can't pump
goes.
Gas and all this other stuff.
That's right.
So tell me, what did the state Senate do as far as an investigation in all this?
Well, we actually changed the way the PUC was organized. We made changes in the process of how ERCOT, which oversees the electrical operation, how they operated. Before the storm, they basically operated on a crisis management philosophy. That is, they only brought the power online just in time for it to be used. After that, we changed it so they had sufficient capacity standing by so that if we had power systems fail as they were starting up, which is what happened during Uri. They had a strong demand that came on very strong. Power plants that tried to go full power very quickly, and as a result, they had a mechanical, electrical problem and had to shut down. Of course, we also had the problem during there that we shut off power to some of the gas suppliers, which were supplying gas to other power companies, so we ended up shutting ourselves down as a result of it. We didn't have the priority set on how to manage the shutdown. So there's certain priorities that...
So was Texas a object lesson for the rest of the nation?
Absolutely. It should be. If we don't learn from that, we will deserve to experience it again.
So how are you doing as far as hardening the grid in Texas? What does it take to harden the grid, and how much does it cost? And why are the energy companies against it? Don't they want to stay up and running and making money?
You would think so, but we have some very short-sighted leaders in the power industry who are more interested in their paychecks and bonuses for this year's operation than they are in trying to do something in the future.
So in other words, they don't want to divert any of their budgets to fix the problem, which would hurt the bottom line, which would hurt their bonuses.
Right, because they figure if the power, if it were to happen, there will be no one around to hold them accountable for what happened. And so they just go day.
Well, there might be some pitchforks and pitchforks and torches by the American people, right?
Right. But we do have two power companies that that are working to do something about it. We actually, by our efforts, it started 7 years ago in San Antonio, between the city of San Antonio, their power company CPS, and Joint Base San Antonio, which is about 13 military bases in the area, came together and
said... So the military sees this problem. They understand it, don't they?
Yes.
So I'm guessing the military and guys like State Senator Bob Hall convinced the city of San Antonio, and that woke them up. Because I don't usually see government taking the leadership. So I'm guessing it had to be a state senator or two with the help of guys like David Tice and the military convincing the local government, let's get this fixed.
Right. Yeah, they had a very strong leader down there by the name of General Stephen Quatz.
There you go.
And he took the lead in it and got it started. It's still going, and it's a small effort. It's not a big effort, but it's doing something.
It's an example we can look to.
Yes, absolutely. And then in Houston, we have the power company CenterPoint. And CenterPoint actually got some federal grant money and built a hardened control center to military specs as a backup facility.
Good. And is this going on anywhere else in the country?
No, not that I know
of. So Texas is going to lead the way again.
That's right. We're leading it. They're doing it in South Carolina. There's an effort, but it's an entirely different approach. It's more of a power company directed approach. But then CenterPoint here went another step, and they had one of their engineers that actually designed a hardened power substation, one of the key components for distributing
power.
And
what does it take to harden it? copper or what?
It takes special metals like Monel, which is the same metal we use to harden the Minuteman missile. They're using
which you were doing back in 1967.
Right. And they move all the controls to fiber optics. And so now we cut down on paths of conducting electricity. And it turns out with that design, those substations can be built for 75% less cost than the ones we're using today.
Wait a minute. You're telling me we can harden the grid and save 75% at the same time?
On the substations, that's
wow.
right.
Wow.
Now, there are other things that need to be done, and we don't really know the cost of it yet. But those that have been working the cost aspect of it tell me that for less than 1/3 of 1% of what's going to be in that tremendously big infrastructure bill that's coming up, we can harden the entire country.
Entire country.
With it.
Okay, so where do you see Texas going with hardening the rest of the grid? I mean, this is a start. This is good. Is it catching the attention of anyone and moving anything in the state legislature toward doing it on a state, the whole state?
Well, thanks to David and what he's done with his video, which is an excellent explanation of what the problem is.
Where would we see the video?
We are showing it. David has it up on his website.
So griddownpowerup.com is our website.
Give that again.
griddownpowerup.com. And the film is premiering on a pay-per-view basis on Epic Times TV this coming Friday for two weeks.
Oh, it's just premiering?
Yes, it's
now,
not quite
the one
available.
This is been working on for a while.
Yes,
I think even your guys emailed me about getting some footage of Dr. Pry off the show we produce, right?
Exactly.
So is some of that in there?
So Peter Pry plays a big role in the movie, as well as Senator Bob Hall, as well as Stephen Kwas, a number of great individuals.
Did you use some of our footage of Peter at our news desk?
Of course we did.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. So
good.
It's a 55-minute film. It's narrated by Dennis Quaid.
It's narrated by Dennis Quaid?
Yes. We have George Carlin in the movie. You know, it's very high quality. We have
Who?
George Carlin.
Comedian?
The comedian.
Why is he in it?
So because he's got a great 90-second clip about how we are SOL if the electricity goes out.
Wow.
And therefore, there's a little bit
of
humor in it.
Dennis Quaid is...
Yes.
Now, which one is Dennis Quaid? There's Randy Quaid and there's Dennis Quaid. Which one is Dennis?
Dennis Quaid is the one from The Rookie and from Soul Surfer.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know...
And he's the one that narrated it.
Yes, he's narrated. He's looking right into the camera and saying, this movie does and will have a happy ending.
Wow. And you did use some of our production stuff.
Of course we
Dr.
did.
Pryor,
yeah, because
desk.
You've been wow. such a patriot spreading the word for... You know, 5 years or so, for
sure.
Well,
we're honored.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see some of that footage in there
yeah.
and have a small part in that. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we are, in addition to that, we're working with David, and we're taking it around the state. I'm working with local groups, True the Vote here in Texas, and other organizations, grassroots organizations that want to see the movie. I'm taking it to them with a presentation on what it means and what we're going to do. To rally local support from folks all over Texas. I've got about a dozen locations lined up now.
Good.
And anybody will call my office, they can schedule.
You want to give that?
Yeah, call my office. It's area code 512-463-0102.
Give it again.
512-463-0102 and talk to Amy Lane, my chief of staff. She's scheduling it. And we will fit it in the schedule and show it to your group.
So if anyone in Texas wants State Senator Bob Hall to premiere this movie in your community, State Senator Bob Hall will set it up and premiere it in your community. Is that what you're saying, Senator?
That's correct.
Okay, so we're going to have you give that number again.
512-463-0102.
Okay. Guys, you can even put that on the screen if you want. Put that on the screen. That'll be seen better. 512-463-0102. 512-463-0102. That's the phone number for State Senator Bob Hall, who's sitting here right with me now. Talk to his chief of staff, Amy, and she'll set up a premiere of the movie somewhere in Texas to try to inform the elected local officials. This would be something you could do a premiere, invite your... state legislators, invite your city council, your county commissioner, those kind of folks, right?
And your power company
folks.
To come see it. Now, we're encouraging them. Those are key people that need to come, because those folks that are working in the power industry, like we're at CPS and CenterPoint and Duke Energy in South Carolina, they get it. They have stepped beyond their personal interest and say, you know, we've got a problem, and then we've got to fix it.
And then after they show the film, obviously they can ask questions. And David, yes. Will you be there, or just you be?
I can be at some of these. So, Brandon, one thing we're doing different on this movie is we're converting the movie into a movement. And therefore, we need something as big as the Tea Party movement, where we have ticked off Americans, ticked off soccer moms and dads that are ticked off about this vulnerability and how it can be fixed. And then we have a follow-up campaign whereby there can be collaboration through an Energy Security Council that we're setting up, where legislators or aides, city council people, community leaders, citizen warriors, and vendors can all work together to make this happen.
Demand it happens. Because if the power goes out, Senator and David, you both know that a congressional study shows if an EMP takes down all three power grids in the U.S., Texas being one of the three, Texas having its own power grid, the other one, correct me if I'm wrong, is the Mississippi River East, the Mississippi River West. Those are your other two grids, right?
Yeah, well, it's so, pretty much the Texas East and Texas West off the Texas border. Texas's grid covers 90% of Texas.
But I'm saying outside, yeah. You're your own grid.
Right.
But outside of Texas, the other two grids would be the Mississippi River going east and the Mississippi going right. West would be those other two grids.
That's correct.
Then add Texas as the third grid.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So any of those three grids, if they go all, they all go down. The congressional study shows 90% of Americans will be dead inside of a year due to disease, starvation, and societal unrest, correct?
That is correct.
90% of Americans.
That is what the White House Commission on BNP study predicted would happen.
And we know that Iran, China, North Korea, Russia all have as part of their military strategy EMP attacks on America, correct?
That is correct. We learned that. Most of what we know about that in detail, we suspected it, but we learned it when the USSR collapsed, and we had so many high-ranking officers from the Russian army that defected the United States. They came here wanting to show their worth to the United States for being here, so they had boxes and suitcases full of classified material that told us about how Russia had shared what they knew about the EMP threat with the Chinese and with North Korea, and that they indeed had that in their war plans as their first, as a preemptive strike.
And Dr. Peter Price told us that some of the missiles that North Korea have shot off, the media is like, oh, that was a dud, that failed, or whatever.
No,
they were shot off at a certain trajectory on purpose and then detonated and exploded on purpose because they didn't want people getting their information. But Dr. Price said that trajectory wasn't a failure. That was a specific trajectory for an EMP attack. True or false, David?
That's exactly true. And Peter Price is the strongest EMP warrior other than Senator Bob Hall we have in the nation, and he's a real patriot.
Well, it's not just North Korea. We've observed the Iranians launching medium-range missiles off the back of cargo ships.
That's right. They've been doing that since like 1998 or something.
Right.
And we just recently, last year or so, now actually have video footage of them with a missile launching system on a cargo ship.
Well,
and they're showing it. They're not hiding that's what they have. They pull that up into the Gulf Coast of Texas and let that puppy rip over the United States. How high does that have to get?
About anywhere from 50 to 250 nautical miles.
Okay, let it detonate.
The sweet spot is about 200 nautical miles over Kansas, Nebraska, some not real accurate, just central part of the United States.
So come up into the Gulf of Mexico, right off Texas. Shoot that puppy off a cargo ship, Iran, mm-hmm. or anyone else, but Iran's practicing
one
on
time.
This. One time, get it up over the Kansas and Nebraska. It detonates.
Right.
Doesn't do anything to us, but it would fry all the three grids.
That is correct. And we have actually intercepted a North Korean ship that went through the Panama Canal that had two SA-2 missiles on board.
That's the one they covered it with sugar.
With sugar.
Yep.
Yeah. So we know they know about it. We know what
they're planning.
And it's so simple. It's a small nuclear weapon. Doesn't take a big one. Doesn't take many. A dozen people would be more than enough to do it. And it's a one-time event. And
are you shocked it hasn't already happened?
I am. I truly am. If I was a military strategist and I wanted to take down the United States, I wouldn't think about any other philosophy other than that, because that's instant death coast to coast.
Are you shocked how little our elected officials are alarmed by this massive existential threat?
Absolutely. It's it does surprise me that they I think what the problem most people have with it, that it is so
simple,
so devastating what would happen, that it's like super trauma.
But it's just, so simple to make the devastation.
That is correct.
It's simple in many regards, simple and cheap, because we know that they have the Club K cargo missile launching system. You've seen the Club K cargos, right? They're in one of my documentaries. If you want to see what that looks like, go to my documentary Sabotage at sabotagethemovie.com. For about $10 million, you get this Club K cargo system that pops up a lid with a satellite command, and up pops, you know, silos, I think, for two missile launches. If they put a nuclear beach ball on the end of that, like it was supposedly created by Dr. Jaffer, the former head of the nuclear program for Saddam Hussein, you put that on that into that those two missiles and launch off of a cargo ship, the Club K cargo container that sits like on a rail car box, a boxcar. I mean, we've all seen it. You go online and see simulation. You can buy one for like $10 million. I mean, pretty much any of these terrorist groups can now afford to buy one for $10 million. And you're saying, Senator, all it would take is one of them to detonate that.
That is correct.
And we're done.
And it gets even worse, because that's an enemy. That's humans out there. We have nature to deal with. We have the coronal mass ejections that come off of the sun that can do exactly the same thing. And those are real. Those we have seen. We have actually seen the effect of them. And power companies take those into effect on very low-level ones on a regular basis. But recently, last year, there was a huge coronal mass ejection that missed the Earth's orbit by just a couple of days. And had it been a couple of days different, it would have had the same effect that the Carrington event had in 1859, where all the telegraph system in the United States was completely fired. People were put in the hospital, burned up. Railroad ties were set on fire, and tracks were so intense with the current going out, turned them into pretzels.
The railroads?
Yes.
Iron railroads.
Yeah, and there. So
that's how hot it got.
That's how hot it got. So we've had one of the power blackouts in Northeast was a result of a GMD.
What year was that?
I believe that was in 1989. Yeah, and so that's something we have absolutely no control over in there.
When the one you're talking about in the 1800s happened, there wasn't all the electrical equipment we have today.
Right.
So additionally, the film talks about physical attacks. There's essentially four potential threats. So we talked about EMP. We talked about coronal mass ejections coming from the sun. Then cyber attacks, where you've had Jennifer Granholm, current Secretary of Energy under Biden, has talked about how our enemies are already in the grid and could potentially shut it down. Fourth potential attack is physical attack. In February, 60 Minutes did a story about how only 9 substations, critical nodes, if they were taken out, it could create coast-to-coast blackout.
Just 9 substations.
9 substations.
And it was in April of 2013, wasn't it, when someone shot the PNG transformers in California?
Exactly. That's covered in the film. It's the Metcalf substation. That's also talked about in this February 2022 60 Minute story.
Yeah, and they found, they brought in the head of the Energy Regulatory Commission, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC. That guy brought in some Navy SEALs guys who were not too far away in San Diego to study it, and they said, oh, this had to be special forces. They said that there were rock piles pre-positioned, so at night they would know where to stand to shoot at the coolant system and take it down, correct?
Right.
They knew where the cameras were, not to be on camera. I mean, the whole thing had a special operations feel to it. I think Dr. Pry believes it could have been Iranian special forces sending a message to America, right?
Exactly. And again, that was, frankly, covered up. And in fact, it was later on, it wasn't for a year until this really hit the press. And then the final report on it, it was not terrorism. It was probably due to a disgruntled employee.
That's what they said. I don't believe it for one minute.
Not 1 minute.
And that's because, again, there was something called Stuxnet, which was a software program that was developed, I think, by Israel and America. And they put it on a bunch of thumb drives and put them into the Middle East until someone took that thumb drive and went into the nuclear facility in Iran, stuck it in there, and that software took over, as I understand. And our folks were able to see on the cameras, and then they were able to make it look like the centrifuges were fine, and then they destroyed those centrifuges with that Stuxnet, right?
Right.
And so this could have been Iran telling America, you can fool around with us, but we could also take down your grid. We shot one substation. If they shot another 7, the whole grid could have gone down nationwide, correct?
Correct.
And they did it here in Texas also in Pernales just a couple of years after that. Wasn't as big a deal, but it came very close.
Tell me about it. Never heard of it.
Yes, it was the same physical attack, shooting up in Pernales just right down the road.
Okay, that one didn't make as much news.
No, it wasn't.
What year was that?
That was 2 years later.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it done in a way that tells you it wasn't just some kids?
Yeah, when they do the cover up for it, they put out whatever they want to say. Initially, it was very obvious that it was a planned attack on it. Then later on, they said, it was just a bunch of kids out there messing around. There's a tremendous amount of effort is put into trying to convince the American public that it's not a real threat and it's not going to happen and nobody's working on it. Even though we have now know that we have the high voltage transformers that are only made in China.
Right.
Are now here in America that have malware in them.
Wow. Again, I got to cut it right there, but we're buying stuff that has malware for China to control our grid. Crazy. All right, that's the interview I conducted at CPAC just a week or so ago, 10 days ago. Full interviews at WVWTV.com. Before we go tonight, take a look at my website here. This is one reason why in 2013 I bought enough freeze-dried food for my family for many, many months, if you want to show the website, Logan. And now, of course, I ended up becoming a distributor. Can you not show it? Logan? Can you not show my website? Okay. Apparently he wasn't listening to me. Wouldn't be the first time. But 2013, I bought several months of freeze-dried food because of things just like this I was studying, EMP. Then in 2016, we became distributors. And this is one reason why, folks. I mean, what are you going to do if you've been warned and our grid goes down for a few weeks or a few months? What are you going to do? You really think you're going to the grocery store? You're not. Yeah, and look, folks, it's got a 25-year shelf life. Let's just buy it and hope you never need it, okay? It's an insurance plan. That's all it is. Nobody bemoans how much money you've spent in your lifetime on car insurance, right? Because you know if you need it, you need it. Same thing here. But it's a big part of our general operating budget as well. You can go to WVWTVstore.com. Check it all out. 3 month, 2 week, 4 week, 6 month. WVWTVstore.com. Put in another big order the other day. We have plenty. The issue isn't getting it. The issue right now, it has been, but right now we can get plenty. The issue is there's so many people that want it. It takes a while to fill this many orders. So be patient, but thankfully we have it. But I urge you to get it while we have it, while you can get it, because with inflation and everything else and just-in-time inventory, folks, it wouldn't take much of a disruption for this not to even be available to you. All right, WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. My guest tomorrow night will be Michelle Malkin. That's just one of many guests tomorrow night. Thanks for watching. Take care.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you watched Worldview Report? That is our new nightly Worldview broadcast. It's a 30-minute nightly television broadcast. It takes about 7 of us 15 man hours a day to put this all together. You'll see what I mean and how quality it is when you watch it for free at WVWTV.com. That's our 30-minute new nightly news report. But you know what else we're doing? We're taking this and putting it at worldviewradio.com each day as an MP3. For those of you that want to just listen to it while you walk the dog, work in the kitchen, drive in the car, work out. So we're putting it up not only as a TV show, but as an MP3 as well at worldviewradio.com. We're also now taking my 90-minute live television show that airs Monday through Friday, Brandon House Live, and we're now posting that also as a free MP3 at worldviewradio.com. So you can listen to Worldview Radio, my daily radio show, as you have for years at worldviewradio.com. You can listen to my 30-minute nightly news broadcast as now an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. And you can listen to my 90-minute live television show now as an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. Now, not only are these all at worldviewradio.com, you can also watch them as a TV show at WVWTV.com. Now, here's the deal. Did you know we spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth, paying for the bandwidth for people to watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows for free? Not only that, do you know what it costs to keep a staff going that helps me with all this? Did you know that we also have a utility bill that is like $1,500 to $1,700, close to $2,000 a month, because even in the Mid-South, pretty much have to keep the air conditioning going year-round or the servers could overheat. And we also are pulling a lot of electricity with our TV studio. So think about our utility bill, our insurance, the people we hire and have to pay to keep working on our team, the bandwidth we pay for, our broadband high-speed internet. You cannot believe the thousands and thousands of dollars it takes to do the television and radio programs we're doing at the quality we're doing them. Please go right now to WVWFoundation.com and make a contribution. WVWFoundation.com. You can also use our mailing address, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you so much for your support.